We are live here, 2015 Build, and I'm here with the Microsoft Edge team. So, Edge, Spark, but well, let's introduce ourselves. I got ahead of ourselves. So tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Sean Littersand. I work on the Microsoft Edge team.
Okay. I saw you said, is it the same as Spartan?
It is. I don't know what that Spartan thing is. We've forgotten it.
Oh,
now.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Gone.
It's all Microsoft Edge.
That's right.
From here on
Spartan
out.
Is the suit I put on at night when I try to do my cosplay by myself.
Well.
Is that awkward for you? I'm
sorry.
I'm a little
awkward.
And you, who are you and what you do?
My name's Charles Morris. I'm also a PM lead on the Microsoft Edge team.
Edge?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what it could have been called before,
yeah.
But
Ed,
so the first question that I want to ask, first of all, we are taking questions live, so if you have any questions, direct them, and we'll answer any questions that we can within reason. Obviously, we don't have a huge amount of time, but let's start with this. Why?
Why don't you start from the user experience?
Sure. So the approximate split is I work on the app and he works on the platform side.
Okay, so you work on the app platform. Let me first ask, what's the difference?
Well, my team sort of built the app, the user experience, the features, you know, that are on top of it, and
we work on basically the engine that powers the browser. So what actually takes the HTML, the CSS, the JavaScript, and actually renders the web page. So
okay.
I think we both had reasons to build a new thing.
Yeah.
So let's hear him start.
Yeah, so from our perspective, you know, we've had Internet Explorer for about 20 years now. It would be having its 20-year birthday this year, but it still will have its 20-year birthday. It's still part of the product.
Room.
It's still part of the product. It's still actually, it's really
birthday.
Actually, I mean, IE, just to be clear on this, as some folks wonder, like IE11 is still part of Windows 10
Got
and
it.
Is available for compatibility and for enterprises to use. Microsoft Edge is sort of it came out of this, you know, really looking at Windows 10 and the opportunity that Windows 10 presented with respect to, you know, all the different device types that it supports, different kinds of input types, and sort of changes in the environment over sort of the last 20 years in terms of like security and privacy, in terms of people's expectation for what a browser does and how it works, and really kind of saying, do we have the right browser for the next 20 years?
Got it.
And kind of really reapproaching that and saying like, all right, let's rebuild a browser so that, you know, we have something that works across PCs and phones, and you know, you saw it in the HoloLens demo yesterday.
Right.
So we really want to, you know, rethink how we built the browser. And then some of the features that we have as well are really trying to, you know, come at what we have learned over the last, you know, 10, 15 years about how people use the browser and what they expect.
Got it. And so you said there is a why for you.
Yeah. So our audience is really web developers.
Right.
And what we heard from them was really, you know, it's a similar story where the web has been around for 20 years and it's really changed a lot. IE has been around for most of that time. And what happened over the years, especially the early years, was that there was a lot of IE proprietary technology in there because it was filling in gaps as the rest of the standards-based web was maturing. So you saw things like ActiveX controls, VBScript, some of these technologies that don't actually work in other browsers. And at the same time, we had customers that needed those to continue working. So we had kind of this tension of trying to pull forward with more modern web technologies, but we also had to keep the old stuff working that only worked in IE. And so that was our big reason for kind of making a break from the past and really starting out with clean, with a fresh engine that we could kind of just move forward with.
Got it. So a quick question. Obviously, if you have questions, please have them come in and just make sure that if you guys make sure that it's coming on the screen, because I'm not seeing them. But here's the other question, and I've wondered about this when I first heard about this project. Is this a complete rewrite from the ground up?
So I think even in this case, we're also going to have two slightly different answers. From an engine perspective, it is not a ground up rewrite. So about a year ago, we did a fork. So in a similar way that other new, basically almost all web rendering engines have started as a fork of each other.
Right.
So the new rendering engine, which we call Microsoft Edge HTML, started out as a fork of the IE engine. So this was about a year ago. But since then, it has diverged very rapidly. Like there's thousands and thousands of changes to the point where, you know, it's a separate DLL and we feel comfortable calling it new because it's really got a new focus it's very different from the old engine.
So what kind of change? You say thousands of changes.
Yep.
What kind of changes are they? The way we process HTML or JavaScript or?
So a lot of it was removing the IE specific stuff that I had talked about earlier. A lot of it was making changes so that we behave more like other browsers. Again, when we just had the one engine, a lot of times it was hard to make those changes because IE had behaved like that for 20 years, and so people expected that to happen. And so now that we were freed from that, we could actually start to make the new engine just work like, you know, other modern browsers.
So does that mean that my older websites that have just been out, because the internet's huge and there's tons of web, is that stuff not going to work as well in the new browser, or is there compatibility issues?
It really depends. Most of the old websites work fine if they are built on standard technology. So if they're built on like HTML4, like HTML tables still work great.
Right.
If they are dependent on IE specific technology, so ActiveX is really the big one, then you're going to have to look at IE as the fallback.
Got it. Okay. So the question again was from his perspective. Did we start from scratch? And I wanted to see if, from your perspective, if that's
so.
The same.
We didn't, you know, start with an empty, you know, C++ file, right. You know, which is sort of the, I guess maybe every developer's dream.
Right.
We kept some of the core process model the same, but much like the platform team, we removed a bunch of the stuff that was really this legacy technology that we, you know, had around for 20 years. And then we did rewrite the entire UI. So our previous UI was a mix of sort of some Dewey and some. Win32, some different technologies, and now it's an all XAML-based UI, and the entire sort of core was ported over, so we're now a universal Windows app, Windows platform app,
okay.
Which is part of what we want to achieve, because that means we now can run on all the platforms that support universal Windows, that support the universal Windows platform, so, you know, the PC and the phone, and HoloLens, there was a demo of that as well.
Right.
All the devices that sort of run universal Windows.
So in essence, it's kind of like, well, we want this browser to work everywhere.
Yeah.
And we're promoting as a company that if you have a universal Windows app, it works anywhere.
Yeah.
So why not make our browser do that just to show everyone, take the lead that you can do it
Absolutely.
And it will work.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we have some questions coming in from John. Do you guys have any plans to go cross platform, or will you guys at least consider it, guys and gals?
Right now, we have no plans to go cross-platform. We are totally focused on making the best browser for Windows 10 right now. That said, you know, as we've said numerous times, we're always listening to feedback. So,
got it.
We'll definitely continue listening.
Got it. So, do you have it installed here? Maybe you can show
absolutely.
Us some of the cool features that we can look forward to.
Sure.
Or maybe is this already in the current build?
Yeah.
The techno preview?
Yeah, so the one that came out today, there's some browser called Project Spartan, which looks a lot like Microsoft
Edge. Yeah, I don't know what you're
talking about. But you can try out Project Spartan in the current builds. And it has many of the features. We showed off a couple of new ones and then some of the stuff that we're working on in the future in the keynote yesterday. And I can show you some of them today.
Let's look at it. What's the differentiation here to make it so that we need a new one? Well, I want to see that kind of stuff.
Sounds good. So. Some of the important things we did was, you know, we have this new streamlined user experience where we kind of taken away a lot of the, you know, even from a design point of view, we've kind of lightened it up, removed a number of the lines, and, you know, this is sort of our new tab page that we showed off yesterday. It's really focused on helping people get to the sites they're interested in, doing searches, and then content that's kind of personalized to them as well.
Right.
Once you kind of get into it, we have a couple areas where we've invested. So one of them is we've integrated Cortana. Into the browser.
Cool.
And we've done that in a couple interesting ways. Like, we really looked at it as like, how, if you had this personal assistant, how would your personal assistant help you with browsing? Well, she wouldn't sort of be there where you're sort of like, you know, go, you know, browser, you know, personal assistant, please go to this website for me.
Right.
Instead, what she would do is sort of sit on the side, and if she noticed you doing something and she could help with that, she might sort of interject and sort of help with that. So one of the examples is, you know, if you start typing weather, like you're going to, you know, San Francisco weather, she might be like, oh, well, you don't have to press enter and go to do a search. I'm just going to tell you what the weather is right there.
Got it.
And for the folks who aren't in San Francisco, this is, in fact, what it's like outside. So.
Nice.
But there's, you know, several other things you can do. Like, if she notices that, you know, you're about to search for this thing, you know, when is, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, 2015, she might sort of pop up and answer that right there.
You
know, to say, like, it's in November, or I can just enter and do a search as well.
Because so if you're looking for like little tidbits of information, yeah. you don't need the whole page. You yep. just right. want the information.
She's really good with celebrities as well, so I think Sean wants to show that. Oh yeah,
you know, for
off.
Example, as one does, right. if you need to know like how old Brad Pitt is.
You know, I did that search this morning.
Exactly, and you know, you didn't even have to do the search.
I didn't even have to do the full search.
Sounds like we're on the same page.
I'm saving lifetime here with this kind of stuff.
Precisely.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, so, you know, she actually is able to answer questions like that. There's a few other things we've done. If you were to go to, you know, a certain, you know, different, I'm going to type this.
Typing is hard.
It is. Live on TV, yeah. So if you go to her website, see actually what happened in the top right-hand corner there. She kind of popped out and she said, hey, you're on this restaurant website. Odds are good. I know how to help you with that. So she can sort of tap on that and she'll like give you this little package of information that she selected. This is, you know, where the phone number is. This is what the menu is like. It's Italian. Is it open right now? It is actually open right now. If you were close to it, where this is a restaurant in Seattle, it would tell you how far away it is from where you're currently located, that kind of a thing.
And so it's just sort of contextual information. It's not like, hey, go to website this. It's more like, now that I'm at website this, what might you be interested about that?
Precisely. And here's another example. I can pick some random piece of text and say, ask Cortana, and it can tell me, you know, South Lake Union is a neighborhood in Washington, give me kind of an idea where it is. And she supports a whole bunch of different entities. So there's like different recipes, like if it's a food that you select, she'll tell you what the nutritional value of that is. If it's a, you know, an arbitrary celebrity like say Brad Pitt, to give you some really, really key information about that
pictures.
Celebrity. The pictures, which are actually, as it turns out, the most clicked things for celebrities.
Got it.
So that's Cortana. I want to quickly just run through a couple other things. We have done some work with reading.
Okay.
So if you, we have a new reading list that is sort of, there's our favorites, but also here's some reading. This is a, you know, stuff I've added to my reading list. And if I click on this, it can pop in over to that site. And then we have a rereading view that you can click in, which gives you this kind of distraction-free view of the content that you can just, you know, flip through and you, all of the, if there are ads on the page, they sort of get moved to the background so that you can focus on the content.
And for those that, just to interject, he's using his touch screen as this is happening. Right. I know you can't see it live, but he's typing what he has to. Yeah. He's touching what he has to. Yeah.
And then the other thing that we added is annotations.
Okay.
So we call them web notes. So if you tap on that little button, you move into this note-taking mode. We're still working on it, as you can tell.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Look, I've always told people, when we're previewing new stuff, it's like we're letting you in the house and letting you look under our bed. Yeah. It might be clean all the way, but we're still cleaning some stuff up.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so don't mind the cobwebs.
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
And if you're ready to ship, we'd ship it today.
Yeah.
So we have a few things to fix. So I've moved back to annotation mode, and now I can, with my finger, if I wanted to, I can kind of say, oh, this looks good. I should, you know, go to this. And then I can, you know, share it or save it or send it to somebody and say, you know, send it to my boss and say, you know, I really want to go to that build thing. That sounds good to me.
So I saw this feature. Where are these annotations being saved?
Well, they're saved locally on your machine
in a
particular file format. And you can then save that. You can send that package over to, you know, whoever you want to who can then consume it and see the annotations.
So are they opening it like a link that then it's opening the page and the annotations?
We will do that eventually, right? For this release, we're just sending a package over as an attachment in the email.
Got it.
That's sort of it. You know, it's like it's reading, this reading stuff, the annotation stuff, and then this Cortana feature. And as I like to call it, we do reading, writing, and arithmetic because you can actually also...
Nice.
You can also do math in there, and she'll tell you what the answer is. It's just a little slow sometimes, but...
Oh, of course. It's the afternoon, right?
Yeah, there we go.
I have a hard time with
math. She was having difficulty with 1 plus 34.
It's a hard one.
It is a difficult one. She thinks there's a trick in there, but...
Wait,
you know.
Is that what you really meant?
Yeah.
All right, so we have some more questions coming in. When will we get the option to save web page as webarchive.mhtml?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. It's good. You know, one of the things I would suggest with a lot of these kinds of things is we have a ton of feedback supports. We have the little smiley face, top right-hand corner. You know, we have a lot of people going through this feedback. In fact, one of the things that we are spending a lot of time on this release, like the rest of Windows 10, is we're releasing early. We're getting feedback.
Right.
You know, we may not have thought that web archives were a really important thing, but if, you know, if that's a thing that's super important for a bunch of people, let's get that feedback in, and then we'll prioritize it on our backlog and make sure that we work on that.
Yeah, as developers, we always get the, well, what about this, what about that? We're like, yeah, we love everything, but we got to get certain things done first.
And for a feature request like this, a great resource is the User Voice site. So if you go to windows.uservoice.com, there's a Microsoft Edge category, which I'm sure has been renamed overnight.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Why should it be renamed? I don't know.
I mean, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
And that's a great place to add that type of feature because then other people can then vote.
Yeah,
and,
they can
and
plus
it can
one it. Yeah.
Plus one it. Got plus it. Three.
All right. So John asked, will extension support be available on the phone tablet side?
Well, let me take Jonathan's question as well, which is when will extension support be available?
So, now, what do they mean by extension support?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the things that we Joe showed off yesterday in the demo was we're starting to work on support for extensions, and this means the ability to add, you know, additional functionality to the browser. For
Got
you
know, it.
Like a lot of people who use Reddit, for example, really love the Reddit Enhancement Suite. Or we worked with our Microsoft Translate team. They built a translation extension that you know automatically translates the content in your page. Or we worked with the Pinterest team, and they have an extension that basically lets you pin the images on your page.
Got
if
it.
I actually, you know, I don't know, for a, it's behind us, right?
All right, here we go.
Yeah. So this is a, you know, I could pin this, you know, directly to my, you know, my board on Pinterest. So these extensions are all. You know, built as an HTML and JavaScript. And we started working on this, and it won't be available when we RTM this summer.
Right.
But we started working on it. We'll have sort of an insider preview available shortly after RTM for people to start working with. So, you know, that's our, we don't have an exact date for when we'll actually go to production, but we started working on it, and we gave people a little view of it yesterday.
So extensions are important, and we're definitely putting that in the roadmap for the future.
It's in the roadmap, and we really wanted, because it's actually one of the things that have come up many, many times, like, I want extensions, I want my RES, I want my ad block, I want, you know, these kinds of
things. Probably at the top of our feedback list.
Yes, it's I think it actually is the number one user voice, other than keep that old name, which is the other one that we had.
I don't know
what exactly. That's because people didn't know what the new name was.
Right.
Now that they know, that's...
We're on the edge,
we're
people.
On the edge,
let's
exactly.
do it. So John asked, how much of
it... There was a question about mobile. So we actually do want to bring to mobile as well. Now it's on the roadmap. It's probably we'll do the desktop first and then mobile after that. But
so,
we
but, do but because it's a universal Windows app, it should...
Yeah, so the core tech will work. It's just the mobile devices have slightly different needs.
Got
They're,
it.
You know, low battery, there is sort of an
course.
Expectation. Like, you know, this thing can handle having us just extension sort of sitting in the background doing
right.
things. Some of the smaller devices can't. So we have to do more work around making sure that the extensions can be more, they can be shut down cleanly automatically if they're not in use. So there's a little bit more
extensions
work.
Extensions can
do.
Also put in buttons into the UI, which is
right.
a little harder when you've got a 4-inch screen.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is, yeah, we can make it go over, but we need to start making a little bit the experience
make it
a little
great.
Bit better on the device.
On that device. And that is actually true of all the universal Windows platform. That has been our philosophy. The core is the same, but you really want to tailor to the device type.
Got
right?
it.
And make sure that, you know, it really fits into that device. Not one experience everywhere. It's one core everywhere, and then, you know, tailor the user experience for the different device.
Got it. Cool. So John asks, how much of the Edge code base is shared with IE?
So from the platform's perspective, there's no code sharing. So it was a clean split. The old IE code is basically freeze-dried.
Yeah.
It'll get security fixes, and that's actually a good thing for customers who need that backwards compatibility, because one of the feedback we used to get is like because we kept on changing it, we would break the stuff that was written in 1999.
Right.
And so Edge is a completely clean split, and I think the same is true from the app side.
Yeah, the app side is the same thing. There's no sharing of
because it's a universal Windows app, and then obviously Internet Explorer is not. So here's another question from Sean: does MS Edge support 3D rendering with WebGL?
That's an easy one. Yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah. Wow! I feel like we should say more.
Yes.
It's super duper.
It's awesome. It's fast.
It is
go
awesome.
Go to flightarcade.com, which we just launched today, which shows it off. It's got, we'll do it right here, actually.
Oh, well, let's do it right here. Yeah. Oh,
we have the technology.
Here we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is 3D rendering.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, and that looks really smooth. It's not like.
Are you going to play?
There you go.
How many?
All right, here we go.
You're on the. You better fly this really, really well.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
No,
yes.
There's nothing. I mean, as long as we did our sacrifices to the demo gods, we should be okay. Oh, did you not?
I totally did.
Okay, so we're okay. So this is actually a website with WebGL.
Yeah. And a few other technologies.
Yeah, it's got web audio. So what web audio, we can't hear because we didn't hook up audio, but so the throttle, as I throttle up and down, is actually a single audio file that's being real-time processed by JavaScript to kind of shift the pitch. And then it's also got gamepad API support. So we don't have an Xbox controller hooked up, but Kevin showed this morning actually controlling this game through the Xbox. So I'm gonna go back here before I crash into anything.
Nice, yeah.
But well, this is a live website. You know, anybody can go and try it out, flightarcade.com.
Yep.
That's cool. All right, so more questions.
Yep.
What about Inspect Element F12 tools? Right now, hitting F12 opens a new window with IE tools.
Okay, there's a couple of questions there. So first of all, F12 are the tools for both IE as well as Microsoft Edge. And so they're coming forward. As we move forward, the new features for the dev tools are only going to show up in Microsoft Edge. And in terms of Inspect Element, so there they are. Inspect Element, I don't know if it's in the context menu yet.
It's in the context menu in the most recent build. So it'll be out in a flight shortly if it
is. Inspect Element is coming soon. Yeah.
And View Source.
And I think the other piece that was maybe like the new window piece was that we don't have docking where the F12 tools are docked into the browser. They do open as a new window right now. That's on our roadmap. But don't have a timeline for that right now.
Got it. Yeah. But I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm looking at that. It looks good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Very
the team has done a ton of work on these tools. They're very powerful.
Like, here's the thing. Like, my feeling now is applications should focus on the content and not the cruft. And so I love the way that you've sort of, it's not that the browser's disappeared, but the experience is more, it feels like you're more into what the website is as opposed to the tool that you're using to view the website. All right, Jacob says, does Microsoft Edge support the latest in web standards, and how often do you intend to stay updated with those standards?
That's a great question. So, I mean, as with all things, I'd ask, you know, which specific standards you're interested in, but thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My lovely assistant here has brought up status.modern.ie, which is going to get a rebrand very quickly, but it's basically our public roadmap. So this is just a ton of web standards here, all the latest stuff that is either implemented, in development, under consideration, or in preview. So we can actually filter here and show, for example, what's in development or in preview. So this is basically a list of 55 features now that are basically, they're not in IE11, but they're either in Project Spartan preview or in development, which means they're coming.
Got it.
So this is, and these are all very recent standards.
That's not like old stuff.
No.
This is new stuff.
Lots of ECMAScript 6.
Like ASM.js, that's like the ridiculous way of playing like Unreal games.
Exactly,
in
your browser. So yes, I guess the answer is status.modern.ie. It's updated very regularly to answer that part of the question, like multiple times a month.
Basically,
as soon as we start writing code, we go flip it into in development so everyone knows.
Got it.
It's actually part of our new approach as part of building Spartan, our new approach to working with the development community in general.
It's just been be as open as possible. You know, we did stuff like this. We do monthly tweet chats. We used to use the Ask IE hashtag. There's going to be a new one, Ask MS Edge. And so look for a session there. If you follow at MS Edge Dev on Twitter, then you'll see all those announcements coming out.
Got it. All right, Jim asks, is the UI entirely made with the Universal API? I guess he means Universal App
The
platform.
Universal Web Platform, yeah.
How'd you make the title
Windows
bars? Universal Windows Platform.
Well, frankly, what we did was, part of it, as you said earlier on, like us moving this browser over to the Universal Windows platform.
That's right.
Is about actually helping the platform get better. And so that was a requirement that we had of the platform, is that we would be able to put our tabs up on the title bar. And so what they did was they said, great, that's a feature that you guys want, and we know some other apps want the same thing. And so they basically gave us an API. I'm not sure what the exact API is, but there's an API that basically says, hey, we'd like to draw the title bar ourselves, and that's what we had. And now all apps are able to do that as well.
I mean, so. I think what people are noticing is that this is a beautiful universal Windows app.
Yeah.
Can I borrow some of the conventions that you guys use?
And it's great. It's actually pushing the platform forward, and all the rest
forward.
Of the app developers will benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. So the question here is there a way for a web page to identify requests coming from Edge?
So the answer is yes, and surprisingly, the way is to detect the edge token in the user agent string. So with that said, I will say that we are definitely encouraging web developers to not detect edge explicitly, especially for the core web page content, because one of our main drivers for forking the engine, as I said earlier, was to make sure that developers don't have to write IE-specific code or edge-specific code now. And so there are certain good reasons, like if you're advertising an app banner or something like that, and you want to make sure people get to the right app store, then that's a good reason to detect the browser. But if you're just seeing a bug or something's behaving differently across browsers, you may need to put that in, that workaround in temporarily, but we want to hear that feedback so that we can go figure out, okay, do we need to make a change? Does Google or Mozilla need to make a change? Because we work with them to try to make the web platform consistent, because that's really the promise of the web, is kind of a cross-platform.
So it's like, yes, you can, but if you're doing it, maybe we need to look at why it needs to be done.
Send us feedback, especially if there's a bug that you think you found.
Yeah, got it.
Do you want to take that top question?
Oh, go ahead.
That's a good question, yeah.
How will update work via Windows Update or standalone? That's a good question.
Well, I want to make sure we talk about that, because one of our goals with both with Windows 10 in general is that it is updated regularly, and that users who are using Windows 10, they are always sort of on the latest version of the platform.
Right.
And that applies equally to Microsoft Edge on Windows 10. It's like we want to keep it moving forward. I think the common term in the industry is keep it evergreen.
Right.
So you're always using that latest version. Because that's been one of the issues that we've been dealing with over the years with IE, is the platform gets fragmented. Some people are using IE 11, some people are using IE 10. And so we want to make sure that people are using Microsoft Edge, they're always using that, they always have that latest version of the browser. So as the new comes out, we roll it out to everybody. So it'll be updated via sort of Windows Update and via the store over time. So yeah, so then it'll just come automatically to users.
So you're just going to get this update automatically?
Yep, absolutely.
Got it.
And that's good for web developers too.
Yeah, because absolutely.
That means that they can always count on that same version sort of being there.
Yeah, good. Will there be a web store for extensions where users can submit the way Chrome and Firefox do? I think that goes into the extensibility.
Absolutely. When we have extensibility, it is absolutely our plan that the Windows Store will be the place that users go to get those extensions. And that's actually really important for us, because it helps make sure that users have that trust in the extensions, that the extensions are only going to do what they say they can do.
Got it. Another question. Is Edge coming to Xbox? Any integration with controller to allow WebGL? That's an interesting thing, because if it's a universal Windows app, it should work on Xbox.
Yeah.
So the Xbox part is, Edge will eventually come to Xbox One, absolutely. That is sort of in our roadmap. We don't have any announcements of when that's going to happen.
It's sort of like the same story of the phone. There are certain optimizations we got to do, and we're focusing on getting Edge out first.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the second piece is absolutely. So we showed Gamepad working with Flight Arcade. So that one of the reasons we did that was anticipating it going to the Xbox. And so it's great for games.
All right. So is the current UI the final one? If so, are there any plans on the roadmap to allow for more complex, specific use case customizations?
It's pretty close to what we think is the final UI for RTM. We are always open to feedback. The user voice site. Hit the smiley face, tell us what you like, what kinds of customizations that you'd like for us to do. We are building a browser. That's what's good about this sort of environment we're building it. We want people to love it. And if somebody thinks that it should be slightly this way, then we'll certainly consider putting that functionality
in. To finish up, because we're running out of time. How hard will it be to center text in a div? That's a joke. That's a web joke for everyone that's here.
That's
all it is, yeah. Because there's sites devoted to this.
Yeah.
It's a joke. Obviously, you're going to do whatever the standards are.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for watching.
Use the blink tag, I think.
Is the blink tag still in there? Of course. Yeah. Right. We got to be backward. Well, thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.
Take a look at this. And if there's any questions, again, you have the user voice if you want to go there.
Absolutely.
Thanks for watching. And I think we're going to wrap it up for live shows today. We'll see you tomorrow. We're here at Build 2015. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.